It's good to see you in the house this evening. Glad you made it through the rain. So far, so good. So praise the Lord for the opportunity to be here tonight. Let's turn over to page, how about 120? And everyone stand with me, and let's sing about the victory we've got in Him. And then some of our young ladies are going to sing a couple of specials for us tonight. We're going to kind of give the choir a little bit of a break. What there was of us. But I know a lot of folks are traveling, so let's pray the Lord keep them safe. But let's sing page 120, Victory in Jesus. Standing, we'll go to the Lord in word of prayer. Brother Ceylon, would you pray for us, please? Girls, every which way you want to do it. Come on. Up.
Young people that praise the Lord. Amen. What a blessing. I mean, hey, they could be doing anything tonight, but they're in church praising Jesus. What a tremendous blessing. And again, it's good to be here tonight, and a good service this morning, and this is a brand new service. I understand that. So we got a brand new word for you, and So if you do have your Bibles, we're going to jump right into things tonight. Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. We have Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Book of Isaiah. So Song of Solomon is going to be right there in between Ecclesiastes and Isaiah. And I want to mention some things tonight from this chapter, chapter 2, verse number 15. Not entirely a brand new message, but definitely a revised message, especially a timely message. There's some things I'm going to mention in my introduction that has to do with spring, as we said this morning, and that's going to kind of lead us right into the message tonight. But I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we will do our reading, and Lord willing, bring about the thought tonight. And so I know it's been a long day for some with choir practice and all, rain outside, but we definitely want to make it worth your while being here. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for all things, God. Thank you, Lord, for our young people that, God, they're following you. They're looking at us adults, but at the same time, they're following you. God, we're reminded every time. I know I'm reminded every time I see them up here singing, Lord, that I must continue on. I must continue on following hard after thee. I pray tonight, God, that you would just use your word. I pray for a clear head, a calm heart. Lord, I pray that there will be a connection between the pulpit and the pew and those even watching online. Lord, that we all may benefit by being here tonight. And I pray when church is over and we leave and we go our separate ways, God, that you'll just give us spiritual strength and resolve in our minds to walk with you this week, to yield to you and watch you do great and mighty things. We love you tonight. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. Song of Solomon chapter number 2. Let me say this, a little background information. The writer, of course, is in the title of the book, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. It's Solomon's song. This book is poetical in nature. Song. Song. Gives reference to poetry. It doesn't say Song of a Fool, but it does say Song of Solomon. For Solomon was not a fool in one sense of the word, but he was known as the wisest man in the Bible. Now, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 32, the Bible says that Solomon actually spake 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. You know, had to have that 1,005. His father David was a songwriter as well, as you know, wrote many of the Psalms. And so the question is tonight, as we catapult into the message, what's Solomon singing about? What's all of the singing about here in the book of Solomon? So much that he had to write this book. Well, it's about he and his bride. It's about he and his beloved. He has, she has her parts in speaking, and he has his parts in speaking. It's a romantic relationship, that of a husband and of the bride. So also I like to say along with that, that this brings a wonderful picture of Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, the bride. But also we can break it down to this being a picture of Christ and the individual Christian. So this book is definitely for you and I tonight, as it brings the picture of relationship. Now, Solomon gives this beautiful imagery of relationship in chapter 1. You can go back and read that later. That appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. And notice this, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And then in verse number 14, he says, O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. This is a beautiful imagery of a vineyard in early spring. Again, verse number 11 says the winter is past. Verse number 12 talks about the flowers appearing and the birds singing. Talks about the tender grape in verse number 13. And notice in that latter part of verse number 13, that last phrase, he says this, after he gives his imagery, he says, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. We could take a step back and look at this and say that the husband is wanting, if I could say it this way, the bride to smell the flowers. This is a picture of one wanting the other to experience the beauty of nature, wanting to smell the beauty of the flowers, and wants to have them experience the beautiful springtime. It was a cold winter. It was a blustery winter. It was harsh winds and cold temperatures. And now he says that the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers are blooming. The birds are singing. He says, arise, my love, and experience the goodness of the land. Can I say in like manner, that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. There has been hard times in your life and mine. There's been cold winters where the winds are cold and the temperatures are low. But I want to say tonight that it's springtime spiritually and physically. It's springtime. And if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, we can smell the roses. We can enjoy the sun, the S-O-N shining on us. And so he is calling his love out of a deep, dark place into the marvelous light of springtime. I want you to notice something else in verse number 14. Oh, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock. And this is the idea of one nesting within crevices of a rock or rocks. And he says, oh, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock. And then he says, in the secret places of the stairs, look at this, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. I believe what he's saying here, that first line, oh my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock. He's saying, you've been nesting for too long. He says, I want to see you fly. He says, oh my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock. You have been nesting. I want to see you leave that nest. It's springtime. Winter is over. The birds are singing. You be one of those birds that sing. I think in life sometimes what holds us back spiritually is not getting out of our comfort zone. Not leaving that nest. And you see, there's times in life where God wants us to leave the nest, and he wants us to experience flying spiritually. So what happens when we don't leave the nest of security? Well, he stirs the nest, doesn't he? Like that mother eagle raising those eaglets, and she is spends a season protecting them and guarding them and guiding them. And so it's time for them to grow up and take flying lessons. And so she broods over them. She presses down over them, and all of those needles and sticks and stems that make up that nest, it makes them uncomfortable. And so what that mother eagle is doing, she is stirring things up. And sometimes in life, when God is teaching us to fly, He stirs the nest. He has a way of even allowing some uncomfortable times to enter into our life. He allows us to grow weary at times and experience fatigue that we may depend on Him. And He allows doors to close and other doors to open and all of these things. He does all of these things so that we might leave the nest and see the sunshine and hear the birds and enjoy flying alone. He says to His love, verse 14, "O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock." Notice this. "In the secret places of the stairs." He says this, "Let me see thy countenance." I like this. I remember the last time I preached this, the Lord spoke to me and said, there are some people who are cellar dwellers. There are some through circumstances and situations. You know, you see the picture of you open the door. And then all those stairs going down to the cellar. And the writer here is saying, he said, "Oh my dove, you are dwelling in a dark place. You're at the bottom of the stairs. Oh my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of thy stairs. Let me see thy countenance." In other words, he's saying, come upstairs in the living room. Spend some time with me, oh my love. And no doubt Jesus wants that from us. We may be going through dark times. We may experience setbacks. We may be experiencing heartaches and all of that. We may be even following the Lord from a distance. But He wants to see our countenance. He wants us to come upstairs. The Lord wants us to leave the nest. God wants us to smell the flowers, and He wants us to enjoy the springtime spiritually. That is salvation and liberty and grace and mercy. God wants us to experience all of those things. And so He says, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Verse number 13 at the very end. Jesus wants us to take us on a tour. He wants us to take Him by the hand, and as He leads us through fields of grace, valleys of mercy, just all of the... He wants to show us some wonderful things. Will we take His hand tonight? And so in chapter number 2, that's what we have here. That's what we have. We have this beautiful imagery of a vineyard in early spring. And of course, He is giving the word picture to His relationship to His bride. And He says in verse 14, that latter part, He says, "Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. I want you to talk to me." You know, what if every day Christy came home from work? I mean, she knows I love her. I know she loves me. But what if she came home every day from work and I just didn't talk to her? I mean, she knows I love her. She loves me. We just didn't talk. Wouldn't be much of a relationship, would it? The writer is saying, he said, listen, I want to talk to my bride. I want there to be some some intimacy, some romance. I want to talk to you. No doubt Jesus wants to talk to us. He wants us to, listen, He wants to talk to us, and He wants us to experience His goodness. And so He says that. He says, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. Look, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. What a blessing. He said, no judgment here. No judgment here. Come on, let me see you. Let me hear from you. Talk to me. You're beautiful inside and outside. And so we have that in chapter number 2. And now I want you to notice that leads me to my text tonight in verse number 15. Where Solomon transitions to the beautiful imagery of the vineyard and relationship. And now he's given a warning and a challenge concerning vineyard responsibilities. Look at verse 15. He says, take us, the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. If a vineyard is healthy, it's growing. And if it's growing, it has fruit. If a church is growing, it will have fruit. Spiritually and even numerically. If a Christian is growing, he or she will have fruit. Do you know that different places in the Bible describe the Christian as a plant or a tree? Don't turn there, but John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Psalm 1:3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And so we're likened into a plant or a tree. And so the goal is to grow, mature, and yield fruit in our lives and through our lives for the honor and the glory of God who saved us and blessed us and continues to bless us. And as we are in pursuit of doing that, there is a warning and challenge we are to keep in mind, and that is keeping your eyes on the little foxes. Because they want your fruit and they want mine. They want what's sweet in your life. They want what you care about in life. They want what you've worked hard for in your life. The writer doesn't say, watch out for the big foxes. We'll see those coming. But it's the little foxes that he's concerned about. This evening, for a few moments, I want to preach on the little foxes. The little foxes. Again, this is Solomon's love letter to his bride and about his bride, but it's also a love letter from Christ, one who is greater than Solomon, to the church and us as individuals. Just a few things about the little foxes and we'll be through tonight. Number one, we see the disturber. Notice what he says in verse 15. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes. The disturber or disturbers are the little foxes that are after the fruit. That are after the fruit on the vine. Foxes in nature, they love to feast on things. Foxes have incredible senses of sight and smell and hearing. Foxes are clever. Foxes even play dead to attack an animal. Foxes are cunning. Foxes are crafty. Foxes are mischievous. Foxes burrow holes in the ground and create foxholes. Make an application tonight. Let us beware of the little foxes that can creep into our lives, that want to hinder or hurt what God is doing. Listen to this. There's the little fox of pride. There's the little fox of jealousy. Oh, I don't have what they have. I want what they have. That little fox of pride, I was going to say, oh, they're not going to tell me what to do. I've got this. There's the little fox of jealousy, the little fox of pride. There's the little fox of deceit. I've got this going on back here, and ain't nobody else going to know about it. There's the little fox of gossip. There's a lot of different little foxes that we need to be aware of that can creep into our life and get the fruit that's been produced in our lives. Don't turn there, but Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 9, the Bible says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Leaven causes dough to rise. And he says all it takes is a little bit to cause something to spread. Little things can become big things, disturbing what God wants in our lives. And so tonight, it's not only the big things that destroy lives, it's the little things. It's the little things that causes churches to split. It's the little things that causes marriages to split. It's the little things that cause people to get out of church. It's the little things that cause us to backslide. It's not the big things. Hey, we got the big things. It's the little things that creep in. Oh, little bit of this tonight after church, that won't hurt nothing. Oh, listening to a little bit of this tonight after church, that won't hurt nothing. Tomorrow is Monday, and if I go over here and do this for a little bit, it's okay. It's not going to totally knock me out on my back spiritually. Be careful. Be careful, it's the little foxes. It's the little things that get in, they start to gnaw and they start to infect and germinate in your life and mine. And so it's these little foxes, it's these little things. These are the disturbers. And so the writer says, take us, the foxes, the little foxes, but spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Not only do we see the disturber, that is the little foxes, but I want to mention the description here. He says, take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Now, this is a description of what these little foxes are capable of. The word spoil there, it means to wind tightly, it means to bind, it means to corrupt, it means to destroy. And so literally we have these little foxes that are corrupting these vines. They are scratching even and gnawing at these vines, and they're trying to get to the fruit. You got to understand, they're little foxes. And so they gnaw and they bite at the vines. They dig at the roots. They even try to pull up the roots. They infect the vine by its diseased and infected system. They eat and destroy the beautiful display of fruit, the grapes. That's what they want. And so the description here has to do with these little foxes destroying the vines. The disease of sin and its infection can destroy the beautiful fruit displayed in our lives. These little foxes are clever and they're crafty. And many times they, in our lives, physically, they're clever and they're crafty. But the things in our lives that come, again, it's not these big old things. They can be big things, but much of the time it's these little things that start little and it gets to the... It starts at the bottom. And it starts at the roots. And it starts to impede. And it starts to infect. And it starts to eat away. Bible talks about in the book of Romans this root of bitterness. Let us guard ourselves against the little foxes. They want to destroy us and they want to infect our root system. They want to ultimately get our fruit and they ultimately want us destroyed. So these little foxes, they're clever, they're crafty. They feast at night and when no one else is around. Many times things come into our life under the radar when we're vulnerable, when we're unaware. They trouble us and hinder us and try to shake our walk with God. So the writer says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Listen, there are some little things in your life and mine, if we're not careful, that can destroy us. Young person, be careful who you date. Be careful who your friends are. And listen, I don't think I've ever met a young person that didn't say, you know, I just want tons and tons of friends. But like I tell our daughter, keep your circle small. Keep your circle small. The more friends you have, the more problems you'll have. And it's been a saying for years and years and years, and I have found it to be true, that if you have at least five people in your life that will follow you to the end of the world and fall off with you, you're doing good. I think the number's smaller than that. But be careful about those who you date. Listen, and I still believe this. The only reason why you should be dating is if they are potential marriage material. Because if you are dating and you are girlfriend, boyfriend, all this kind of stuff, and if you don't have no plans, no goals, no direction, all you're doing is setting yourself up for failure. Be careful, young person. Please be careful. I mean, it don't stop with young people. It's to all of us. There's different things. We all got to be careful. And listen, if the devil came up to your house and said, hey, big boy, I want to knock you down today. Well, I'd be ready, and, you know, I'll call my brother, and me and him will take care of him. And, of course, God Almighty, number one. But we would see him. We would see that. But if he can slither in somehow like the serpent he is, oh, a little bit of that show won't hurt you. Oh, a little bit of that drink won't hurt you. Oh, smoke a little of this. That won't hurt you. Oh, just a little bit. Just a bit, you know. Isn't that what happened in the garden? Same old devil. Hath God said, ye shall not eat of that tree? Huh? Oh, God's holding out on you. He said you could eat all those trees, but the one in the middle. If you eat the one in the middle, you're going to be like him. He's prideful and jealous. Listen. He tempted Eve with the very thing God said not to do. He put a question mark where God put a period. God said, don't. The devil said, did he? And you know what the devil does in your life and mine? He'll come around in these little things and say, did God say? A little bit's okay. You've got this. That's the famous last words of an alcoholic. I've got this. That's the famous last words of a person on drugs. It's just going to be this one marijuana, this one joint. It's just going to be this one look, and then they're hooked on pornography. It's just going to be this one little thing. It's going to be this one little date, this one little guy, this one little girl, this little bit of money spent over here. And then before you know it, you are locked up tight in the clutches of sin. Oh, listen, it starts little. It starts little. So here's a story. A mom brought the little girl to the pet shop, and she wanted a lizard. And the mama was showing the girl all the lizards in the pet shop for sale. And she goes, look, mama, look, here's one named Allie. Y'all have heard this before, I know. Here's Allie. I want Allie. And so, okay, honey, whatever you want, Allie. And so she bought Allie and took Allie home and feeding Allie every day. And noticed she had a very big appetite. One day she got home and Allie doubled in size. And she was like hanging out of her cage, put her back in there. And, oh, well, it's a big lizard, you know. So came back the next day and fed her again, and my goodness, she's like double in size again. And then one day she came home and didn't see Allie anywhere. Nowhere. Looking everywhere, and little girl flung back the curtain, or the shower curtain in the bathroom, and bam, there was Allie, a full-blown alligator. And really, it was a stinking alligator, a baby alligator, and the last part of the name fell off at the pet shop. You say, what does that got to do with anything? Little things can become big things if we're not careful. They just can. They just can. They can get big, and it starts with the little. And so, church, my word tonight is to just take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. The devil, young people, wants to destroy you. And you, those up here singing and praising God, he will love to trip you up tomorrow. He will use anybody, anything. He can't stand strong, young person. Those who go to work and punch a clock, stand strong. Stand strong. Tomorrow you're going to get a victory. Just go ahead and claim it and say it. Tomorrow is a success. Stand strong and guard yourself against the wiles of the devil. All right? Number three, and we'll be through. There's the disturber, there's the description, and then there's the duty. Notice the first two words, take us. Take us. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. The words take us simply means to seize, to hold, to fasten. And so the writer says to seize the little foxes. Take hold of the little foxes. Fasten the little foxes. Take us the foxes. Seize them, hold them, catch them. And so we're to seize the little foxes. Well, how are you to do that? Well, there's many ways you can do that, but three, number one out of three is just remain watchful. Guard your vineyard. Number two is remain careful. Not only just watchful, but careful. Number three, create boundaries. Build a spiritual fence around your vineyard. I want to leave you with this tonight. You say, Brother Justin, I just don't know if I can catch all the foxes. I don't know if I can keep the foxes out. Can I just give you a word picture as we close tonight? And say that you can keep the foxes out and you can catch the foxes in your life. We won't turn there, but I found over in Judges 15, verse number 4, that God allowed Samson to catch 300 foxes. You know that? Say, how in the world did he catch? And not only did he catch 300 foxes, but he... You want to come on? He tied their tails together. And he put a torch in the middle of them. And sent them into the village to burn it down. 300. I can't imagine catching one fox physically. Not too long ago, me and Lily on the way back. I can't remember when it was. Way back from school or something like that. Seen a fox right out here outside, down the road from Praise. And I couldn't imagine catching one fox. And we know... Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, but guess what? Those of us who are saved got the Spirit of the Lord in us as well. And God may not be calling us to go out here and catch all these foxes in the wilderness, but there's some little foxes that try to come in our vineyard. You know it's true. God has called us to be a fox catcher. He has called us to take us the foxes. He has called us to seize them, to hold them, to fasten them, to catch them, to catch them, to keep them out, to remain watchful. Because, you see, again, the big foxes, we'll see them coming. But it's the little things, it's the little foxes that we don't see. And so that's the message tonight is the little foxes. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for all things. I pray, Father, that we will just keep a guarded heart, a guarded life. Oh, Lord, help us just trust you from day to day. I pray the next few moments, if there's someone here that needs to come, there'll be liberty for them to come and do business with you. We love you tonight and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. The altar is open if you need to come. Lot prayed this morning. We may be caught up, but if God spoke to you tonight, you feel free to come again if you have to. The little foxes. Anybody tonight? Continuing to sing while we have these young people. Maybe there's some older people that need to come, whoever. And for whatever reason, you come tonight if you need to. Let's lift up our young people. They are against the lot. Feel free to come. Do anything you need to do. Appreciate these that came. Still got a couple praying over here, playing softly. Give it a couple more minutes. Minute or two. Appreciate these who responded again. We just love our young people. And young people, just know this, that we love you. We're praying for you. We are here for you every step of the way. And appreciate you. All right. Well, that'll conclude the services for today. And thank you so much for coming out in the bad weather and being here to support your church like you always do. Thank those for viewing online. And thank you to those for choir practice today coming on out. And I'm pretty sure we'll have, of course, more coming, getting closer to Easter. And do we got anything to mention before we close out? Anybody have a word or anything at all to share? Let's just remember all of these on our prayer list. Again, Brother Leonard and Miss Dolores and Miss Connie Teague and Brother Harold wasn't here today. Krista Sapp, upcoming surgery. Miss Claudia was here this morning, but she's home tonight, just not doing good. Pick up a bulletin, if you would, in the foyer over here to my right, and everybody will be there. Of course, there's always some that are not in there, and we have not forgotten about those prayer requests either. But we try to do our best to update and keep it relevant. So, and if you do have a special prayer request, please let me know and we'll make sure it's in the bulletin. All right, Easter's right around the corner, so we'll be preparing for that, as Brother Allen has already said with the choir. And again, in your bulletin is the addresses of some that we have that are sick. I know many of you have already sent cards to, but if you'd like to do that, their addresses are in there, just a word of encouragement. And one last thing, starting in May, every fourth Thursday is when the Operation Christmas Child Shoebox setup will start. And we're really wanting to have a lot of shoeboxes by Christmas time. So we're looking forward to that. Miss Cassie is heading that up with Miss Carlene as well. And so if you've got any questions about that, see Miss Cassie or Miss Carlene. All right. Well, it's been good being here today. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And then I hope everybody just has a great week. I'm going to ask my brother if he would. Would you like to close us out? Okay. safe.